Talk Central is brought to you by BlackBerry.
Hi, this is Diplo. I'm just out there mixing ideas and mixing up different genres. I can't believe that people are actually paying me to travel across the world and build new sounds, different artists. The BlackBerry Torch makes it simple because I'm always staying in touch with everybody, whether it's using Twitter applications or Facebook. A lot of these guys, I have a closer relationship now because I'm constantly on BBM talking to them.
Pop.
I love what I do. And a BlackBerry Torch helps me do it.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Hey, Duncan.
It's been quite a hectic week, but a productive one.
Indeed it has. Done a lot.
Yeah, we've been doing quite a lot of changes at the back end of Tech Central, which has been keeping us busy. We've done some quite a lot of coding today to get our mobile version up and running, and bar one or two minor things, it's up and out there. So guys, go and take a look at it and let us know what you think.
Absolutely. I think it looks cool, so quite excited about it.
You can get the mobile site just by going to techcentral.co.za on your mobile phone, or you can get the mobile version specifically by going to techcentral.mobi. You can even see it on your PC if you want by going to that address, but it's really designed for mobile devices. We're still working on one or two things, fixing one or two things. For example, the site currently defaults to the mobile site on the iPad. We're working to get that fixed. Give us a couple of weeks and we should have that working as well. But the mobile site is looking a lot better than it was before. Last time we were just using some basic plugins and stuff, but now we've fully branded it and got it all up and running. So let us know what you think. Info at techcentral.co.za is the address to do that. And other development this week on the Tech Central side is that we're using a new camera to record this week's show. So if you're watching the video version, hopefully it's a lot better than the quality you've seen in previous shows, and hoping the audio is good quality too. We're using a Flip Ultra HD from Cisco, which Brett Haggard from the ZA Tech Show and various other places kindly bought for us when he was over in Seattle last week.
Yes.
And I must say, it's an amazing technology. It's costs $179 through Amazon, I think maybe $200 if you buy it in a regular retail store overseas. I'm not sure if you can buy it here in South Africa. I'm sure there's specialist sites where you can pick retailers where you can pick it up. But for the price, it's an amazing little device. It shoots 720p HD video, and the quality is simply amazing.
It's a cute little device as well.
It's tiny. It's the size of a pack of playing cards, maybe slightly bigger than that.
Just slightly, yeah. Mm. It almost looks like a mobile phone.
It does. It does. It's like the new generation, as someone was pointing out to me, of the Handycam. The form factor has just gotten smaller and smaller, and it's amazing tech. It's got full image stabilization built into it. It's got 8 gigabytes of storage, which allows 2 hours of HD recording video. Hopefully this show won't be that long today.
Sorry to those guys if it is, for the bandwidth.
The coolest thing about the Flip Ultra HD, in my view, is that it's got a rechargeable battery in it. But if the recharge runs out, you can simply take it out and you can put 3 AA batteries in it.
It's a fantastic little
device. So keep going. So, I mean, if you're on a 5-day hiking trip or something and taking lots of video in the Drakensberg, for example, just take some extra batteries along. You don't even need to charge it.
It's fantastic.
Great stuff. Anyway, let's get on to this week's news, and there's plenty of that to talk about. Perhaps let's start on a lighter note today and talk about the fact that Vodacom has removed that huge hoarding on top of the Ponte Tower in Hillbrow, the notorious Ponte Tower, which I believe is not as dangerous and seedy place as it once was. I believe they've renovated it.
They've done quite a lot of work on Ponte, but it is quite sad. I live in the southern suburbs of Joburg.
No, you don't. You live in London.
Well, it's more south than most people are. So yeah. I get to see the tower next to the Telkom Tower every night. You know, both the Vodacom and Telkom flashing at each other, and that was fun. I understand that it might not be forever.
Yeah, it used to be Coca-Cola that was on top of that building,
yes.
And the joke was, this is guiding you to where you can go and buy your drugs, the big Coke sign in the sky.
Well, at the time, I think Ponte was pretty much that.
Pretty rough, yeah.
It was a bit of a drug slum at the time.
Yes,
but they have done quite a lot of work.
They have done a lot of work to it. But the reason we're talking about this story and why Vodacom has taken it down is Simon Puderman from bizcommunity.com alerted to me to the fact that it had come down and people were asking on Twitter about it. So I put in a few phone calls, and it transpires that the removal or the takedown of that giant hoarding is only temporary, and the Vodacom will be putting it up again in a few weeks. This suddenly sparked off a few questions in my head. And we realized what's going on. Now, if you remember back to November, December last year, we were running quite a lot of stories on Tech Central about Vodacom's imminent rebranding and change in its sort of corporate identity to make it more similar to its new UK parent, or new since 2009, UK parent Vodafone. So I'm expecting a lot of red to come in because that's Vodafone's corporate colours.
I think the teardrop might come in as well.
The little teardrop logo.
We can be almost certain about the payoff line.
Power to you.
Power to you.
Yeah.
Since they were fighting, Vodafone actually entered the ASA with a complaint about Cell C's use of the phrase power to you. So we can almost be certain that they're going to be using that.
Now, you heard something interesting today from let's just say, a big advertiser in the industry.
Technically not an advertiser, they're planning buying business, and they have basically they book out advertising space for businesses across the country, and they're suggesting that Vodacom may well be launching the new brand on the 3rd of April, because the entire week after that nobody can book ads on MultiChoice
on the DStv platform.
Yes.
So some advertiser has taken out a big chunk of available inventory on.
They're almost certain that it's Vodacom, but they don't want to put their heads on the block on that one.
Well, there we go. We'll put our heads on the block and watch out for the new Vodacom logo and slogan and all the rest of it on the 3rd of April. It makes sense. The 3rd of April is a Sunday, and the guys tend to use the Sunday.
And then he was before. It doesn't have the big black circles under his eyes. Well, maybe that might have been stage makeup, but... he's definitely looking healthy, and he was exceptionally excited about the iPad 2, something that we've been waiting for almost a year now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been holding off on a purchase of a tablet device, and I think that assuming this tablet arrives in South Africa sometime soon, we have no idea when it's coming yet. Core Group says they haven't heard anything, but they're in talks with Apple in Europe, who supply them with product. But I think I may actually go and get an iPad.
Well, you wouldn't be wrong to do it, because they're releasing the iPad 2 at the same price that they did it with the iPad 1, and that comes with a bunch of new features and a serious hardware upgrade, which I think a lot of people were expecting and hoping for. So if you're looking for the price point and you're looking for the device that's slightly better than the one it was before, perfect. It's yours. I think the most interesting thing is that it now comes with the A5, which is an Apple's ARM chip that is a dual core chip, which is...
So it's a lot faster.
It's a huge bump up in power. Mm. If you consider the Apple iPad 1 had the A4, which was a 1 gigahertz single core chip.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's good and it does its job. But the dual core will... I mean, you can now run multiple instances of video and not feel the bump, which is great. I think that's what they needed.
I mean, I played around with the original iPad, and the performance is bloody good. I mean,
no, absolutely, it was very zippy.
Yeah, but I think this new processor and the graphics engine behind it is really, really powerful. I was looking at some of the, for example, they were demoing Photo Booth, which is now available for the iPad 2. For those who don't use Apple, Photo Booth is like photography software that uses the front-facing camera on your Mac, or now on the iPad 2, and they were doing all these wonderful little effects and stuff, and you know, graphical intensive effects, and it was really silky smooth.
Well, when you open up Photo Booth, for example, you get 6 or 7 different effects that real-time show you what your photo will look like. Plus, that's not just photo, it's effectively showing you video of what you're doing. So you can move around and you can see exactly how your photo will look before you take the photo. So effectively, on your iPad, you're running 6 or 7 real-time videos with effects. That in and of itself is so graphic intensive. Mm. That's why we have Apple Macs, is to do these kinds of graphic intensive things. And now they're pushing that onto the iPad too.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. And it's going to be great for gaming. I mean, I talked to a lot of original iPad owners in South Africa, executives, and they all complain that they can't actually use them because all their kids are playing games on them all the time. So it's a very big market, gaming, and you know, with a powerful processor and powerful graphics engine behind it, it's going to become even more of a compelling gaming platform.
Mm. Plus the support for 1080p, which is
1080p video playback, and an optional extra is you can now get a little HDMI cable that will allow you to watch video outputted from your iPad on your big screen TV, which is pretty cool as well.
I think so. I think it's a great little device, and probably going to be the product of the year again.
Yeah, and just a couple of, I just noted down a couple of the cool features here that really impressed me. I really like the home sharing, which I know here we're a Mac office here at Tech Central, so we're running Macs everywhere.
Technically, that comes with the new version of the operating system. So that's the new version.
The home sharing, yeah. But I was going to say that in iTunes, for example, we can pick up any iTunes library within the office area here to stream music. So
which
we can listen to each other's music collections, watch video, whatever we want to do.
In fact, it's bigger than mine.
I do it. I'd hope so. Anyway, let's
walk
not go there.
Straight into that. Thank God it's Friday.
So I've completely lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? Oh yes, home sharing, right. So you can play music on any device, and now you're going to be able to do it on the iPad as well. So if you've got if you've got your Mac media server sitting in your study, you can just pick up all that music and all that content and stream it to your tablet while you're sitting in the lounge, for example, which is just fantastic. iMovie and GarageBand for $5, which is pretty cool as well. Great Mac software. And the thing that really struck me the most about it was the fact that they've managed to keep the battery life despite the higher performance processor. It's still 10 plus hours. Which is incredible. That's still best in market as far as I know.
Absolutely. So Steve Jobs said, you would think that we would have skimped on the battery power with all of these improvements, and there really are a lot of improvements. But he said that they worked really hard to make sure the battery life would be as long as possible, and somehow managed to engineer a way to maintain the battery life, which I think is fantastic.
Great. Well, they're going to sell millions of them, there's no doubt about that. The big question, of course, for South Africans is, when is Core Group going to start distributing it here? There's no word yet, but keep an eye on Tech Central. As soon as we know, you'll know. So while you were watching all the blogs and live feeds from San Francisco, I was over at Mustek for their Windows 7 tablet launch, the Mazer Express. Quite an interesting little device. But I kind of feel they might be a bit early with it, because Windows isn't really ready for tablets. Certainly not. You can't really compare a Windows 7 based operating system device running on a tablet to a tablet specific device like Apple's iOS or Android Honeycomb 3.0. There's plenty of rumor around that there's going to be a tablet edition of Windows 8 when that ships early next year.
Yes.
And it may in fact be debuted around August this year, a tablet edition of Windows 8. So they might be a little bit early, but then of course you'll be able to upgrade the Mazer Express to those tablet editions when they come out, because it's running bog standard software. You can assume that you'll be able to run Windows 8 tablet edition or whatever it's called on that device. But certainly, I mean, Mustek was quite clear about emphasizing this is not meant as a competitor to the iPad, and they're pitching it at a niche business market. I don't think this is going to be a big seller in the consumer space. Everyone in the consumer space wants an iPad. Many people in the business space want an iPad, but there may be niche applications for this sort of thing, which is, you know, a tablet that will allow you to run the plethora of Windows software that is available out there, applications which just aren't available on the iOS platform.
Well, the thing is that there is also the playbook to be concerned about. The BlackBerry playbook is going to have a lot of these applications dedicated to Office packages, and I mean, already on my BlackBerry, I can telnet into servers. I can do all of the business applications that I need. So I don't know whether it's a play at a local niche market, you know, while we're still waiting, while the South African market is still waiting for the international stuff, which is a good gamble, but I'm not sure it will pay off.
Mm. So it'd be interesting. I mean, the market is getting very, very competitive. The Motorola Zoom is the other one that I'm really, really interested in. And, as a friend of mine keeps pointing out, it's still the only tablet in the market with a barometer. And as a weather geek, I really want a barometer in my tablet. Perhaps it's a good thing that the iPad 2 is probably going to be at least a few months until it comes into the South African market, because there's going to be a lot of tablet announcements and developments over the next little while, and the Motorola Zoom will be here quite soon as well, and we'll have an idea on pricing on that. Spec for spec, the Motorola Zoom does seem quite well priced, given that it sort of competes in the high end of the iPad space.
I'm not convinced. I still think it's quite a little bit too expensive.
But if you look at the specs inside it, it's pretty much on a par with the high end iPad device. But they don't have a lower. They don't have a lower.
The iPad.
I think so. I'd have to look at the specs again, but it's certainly. it's certainly a compelling option. I think perhaps the mistake that Motorola is making is not introducing different price points on the Zoom. So there's only the $799 version. Maybe they should have introduced one with less built-in memory, maybe 16 gigs. I think it's got 32. Maybe introduce one with less memory and price it cheaper. Maybe they've got that plan down the line. But certainly people are going to compare the $429 iPad with the $799 Zoom, and they're going to go for the $429 iPad if money is an issue,
exactly.
which for many consumers obviously will be.
Especially in the recession.
Absolutely. Anyway, so are you going to get a tablet, Candace?
Well, I want one, but I don't know if I want one because I need one. I think I want one because I want one.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to wait until after the big money of the year has been spent.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Great. Candace, I think we need to take a break at that point. We're going to come back and talk about some of the developments in the telecoms industry over the last week. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like beer and curry, but without the heartburn. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and Vox-to-Vox calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers. The internet. To put a man on the moon. Ignition sequence start. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Candace, Tuesday this week, we saw the interconnection rates coming down again. These are the termination rates, the wholesale fees that the operators charge each other to carry calls between their networks. Now, it's been argued by politicians and by the regulator and by other people that these rates have had the effect of keeping competition out of the market and also keeping retail call rates that charge to consumers higher perhaps than they should be. Now the rates have come down. It's the first mandated cut by the regulator in the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa that took effect at midnight on Tuesday morning. And the rates in peak time have been cut from, 89 cents a minute to 73 cents a minute. And in off-peak time, I think they've come down to around 65 cents a minute. What's interesting is that none of the operators, with the exception of Neotel, has actually cut the retail rates on the back of this. Neotel has cut their fixed line to their fixed line, I say in inverted commas, because they're really a fixed wireless operator, but their fixed line calls to mobiles in line with the cut in mobile termination rates. But none of the other operators have done so. MTN and Vodacom have specifically said they're not going to cut retail rates, and Cell C and ATA have said nothing.
To Cell C and ATA sort of have a different scenario because they're in line to receive asymmetry, which is that they get to charge more to the operators to land calls on their networks than vice versa.
But the calls from ATA and Cell C to those operators, to MTN and Vodacom, for example, have come down in the same way that calls from Neotel have come down by that amount, but they haven't cut their rates. Neither has Telkom. Telkom fixed line to mobile calls have stayed the same, whereas last year when the rates were cut voluntarily by the mobile operators, Telkom passed on the full benefit to consumers. This time they've done nothing. Is this just profiteering by the operators?
It's hard to tell. Vodacom and MTN are adamant that it's a zero-sum game and that they're actually, in fact, losing money and not gaining savings that they can pass on to the consumer. Mm. So there is that argument. argument. I mean, the trouble with interconnectors is that it is an exceptionally complicated scenario. And while they obviously know exactly what they're charging, what they're making from interconnect, for us to actually try and determine that is almost impossible. Mm. So to know whether they're profiteering or not is another story. But you know, globally around the world,
yeah,
interconnect rate cuts have caused prices to plummet.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's because of competition and the fact that lower interconnect rates allows for more competition, allows for competing players to actually enter the market with a little bit more ease. Or whether it's because of a direct correlation.
Now, MTN, I think both MTN and Vodacom, correct me if I'm wrong here, have both argued that termination rate reductions on their own don't reduce retail rates, that it's the facilitation of competition and the entry of new competitors through the reduction in rates, making it easier for new competitors to come into the market, that actually ultimately brings down the rates. But doesn't that then suggest that the South African market is simply not competitive enough if the mobile operators like Vodacom, MTN, and Cell C and Ata, for that matter, feel they don't have to cut their costs?
Well, it's hard to say whether or not they won't cut their costs. From what I understand, that there are cuts on the horizon, not necessarily from MTN and Vodacom, but perhaps from Cell C and maybe even Ata. But it's going to remain something that they need to, you know, fix up over the next few months or few weeks.
Again, I would have they've known this, but they've known this was coming for a long time. Why not cut when the rate came down? Why is Neotel the only one that's actually reacted to this by cutting its fixed to mobile calls?
That's a very good question.
Hmm. It strikes me that all this suggests is that the South African telecommunications market is not competitive enough if the mobile operators and Telkom, for that matter, feel that they can keep the rates where they are.
Well, I mean, for the biggest problem at the moment is this operator lock-in. I mean, how many people are stuck on long-term contracts where they, you know, paying the rates, and if you're paying the rates, why cut them?
Mm.
And that's going to be a lot of... Also, South African consumers are complacent. Actually, porting your number to another company, firstly, it's a mission. I know I'm trying. And secondly, it's so much admin. It's, why would we want to do that? So I think people are stuck with the operators or stick with the operators just out of complacency instead of moving. I think if South African consumer was more aggressive...
That's certainly true in the contract market. I've certainly found that. I mean, I've been with the same mobile operator since 1994. I've never bothered to switch just because it's a pain.
As have I. But I'm switching now.
That's not the case in prepaid. Prepaid users switch all the time.
All the time.
I know my domestic worker, for example, carries two SIM cards. She switches between networks depending on the time of the day when she can get a cheaper call.
Well, that's fantastically clever.
And a lot of guys do that. And it's a trend throughout Africa.
I think we might see lower churn, though, over the next couple of years, thanks to Rika.
Yeah.
With the registrations having to happen, it's slightly more difficult to get a prepaid account without...
Yeah, Rika benefits the... disadvantages the operators in the short term, but benefits them in the long term because it reduces churn.
But yeah, they won't admit that.
No, they won't, no. But Candice, I had a really interesting discussion with the head of legal at a Namibian operator called Leo this week. In fact, the chap sent me an email, Mr. Bazane, I forget his first name. The incumbent operator in Namibia, a company called MTC, really dominant. They had a monopoly there for 12 years before Leo was licensed, and they have 85% market share. And there's a big fight going on in Namibia at the moment over interconnection rates and the resultant non-cutting of retail rates. MTC has, as I said, had a monopoly for the past 12 years. Now the regulator there has forced down interconnection rates much more aggressively than ICASA has here in South Africa. They've fallen, or they've already come down over an 18-month glide past 30 cents a minute, which is 10 cents below where we envisage our interconnection rates being in 3 years from now, or 2 years from now. So they've been very aggressive, but MTC, the incumbent there, hasn't really cut retail rates. You've seen a dramatic cut in calls from its rivals, Telecom Namibia, which is running a CDMA network up in Namibia, and Leo, which is the only other GSM/3G competitor there. Now, the Namibian Communications Commission has actually come out and said to to MTC, you may not charge this, different rates for on and off net calls. What they were doing is charging significantly more for calls to LEO and to Telecom Namibia's CMA network. They've been accused of anti-competitive behavior. Now, all this ended up in court on Friday, and they were back in court on Tuesday because of various procedural issues. As I understand it, MTC has been forced to withdraw, but they're still planning to challenge NCC over this issue, the Namibian Communications Commission. Now, I wonder if we're going to get to the same point at some point down the line where the regulator is going to start to look at retail tariffs and start to regulate them the same way that the NCC is in Namibia. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
I hope that it doesn't come to that. Mm. I hope that the operators start competing. And I mean, there at the moment, you're right, that there is a little bit of a stagnancy in terms of retail pricing. But I hope it doesn't come to the regulator actually putting in price controls, because I think that could be detrimental thing. to the industry.
I agree.
And the less regulation, the better.
I think we might be a bit different here. I mean, MTC is, Namibia is very similar to, in a way, to the Kenyan market, not in terms of retail pricing, but in the way it's structured in terms of market share. Safaricom is the dominant operator in Kenya. MTC is the dominant operator in Namibia. I think in a situation like that, it perhaps does require more aggressive regulatory intervention. But here in South Africa, while retail prices haven't come down, the mobile operators perhaps have a little more even market share, especially MTN and Vodacom. Vodacom is sitting at about 55%, somewhere around there, and MTN's around 30% or so, with Cell C taking up about 10%, probably a bit more now, of the retail market. Last thing we want to do is be encouraging ICASA to start to regulate retail price tariffs, but it's really interesting that the Namibia has gone for this option now after they aggressively brought down termination rates and it effectively had no impact on the market.
I think that the consumers need to step up. If we don't want to regulate the price controls, then consumers need to step up and say, hey, where's the competition?
Absolutely. Well, there is more competition coming. Internet Solutions. I had a fascinating interview with Derek Wilcox, who's the MD at Internet Solutions this week. And they've got big plans to get into the infrastructure game. Not that they actually wanted to, but they feel that it's being forced on them. Derek was saying to me that the cost of national backhaul links is unacceptably high. These are the links provided by companies like Telkom. And they've obviously formed this FiberCo company, which we've spoken about on the show before, with Cell C and Dileng Thaba's convergence partners group. They're all one-third shareholders in this business, and they're rolling out a national fiber network, which is going to connect up a lot of base stations and also provide backhaul connectivity and connectivity onto undersea cables, specifically the Seacom cable on the East Coast and the upcoming WAX West African cable system on the West Coast. They're about to start trenching that network, and great news. But the interesting thing that came out of my discussion with Derek was the plans in the mobile, or rather the wireless broadband market. They're very keen to participate in the upcoming spectrum auction that's going to take place in the 2.6 and 3.5 gigahertz bands. And interestingly, they seem to be leaning towards, if they get the spectrum, and they have said they're not going to bid at all costs, but if they get the spectrum, that looks like that Internet Solutions wants to deploy a technology called LTE, which is the successor wireless technology to what the mobile operators here in South Africa are using at the moment, the HSPA and HSPA Plus 3G networks. The technology is still in its infancy, but Derek Wilcox says that by the time this auction happens and by the time they start to look to deploy these networks, LTE might actually be ready for commercial deployment.
Well, it's being commercially deployed in several countries around the world at the moment.
Just starting.
Test sites.
Germany and Japan have just started rolling out.
And I think there's also something in Australia, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see the growth of LTE over the next couple of years. And getting in and making the plans now is not a bad idea. And they're putting quite a chunk of money behind this project, if they go ahead with it. So, I mean, it represents quite a nice solution also for the spectrum auction, because Internet Solutions is not an entrenched operator. We're looking at the likes of MTN, Vodacom, Telkom. They're still, not smaller, but they're still considered a player not in that range, but they also have the money to roll out a network, and they have backing from both the parent company Didata and from Didata's parent company NTT,
which is one of the biggest telcos in the world.
So you know, fantastic. What a great choice.
Yeah, well, let's hope they go for it. And it's going to be a challenge for ICASA. They, you know, you got the big operators are going to come in with their wallets stuffed with cash. And they're going to try and buy up all the spectrum. You know, Vodacom and MTN are going to come in and just say, we need the spectrum.
Because they're still padding their BEE requirement, though.
Yes, BEE could be a challenge for them. Internet Solutions, obviously, is BEE empowered through Undelia and Tava.
Yeah.
Let's hope they get the license and let's hope they roll out, because they do have the financial muscle behind them and they do have the ability potentially to take on some of the incumbents of the infrastructure game, and they're talking a big game here. It's not something that your small internet service provider is going to be able to do. You can't build a national network without billions of rand backing you up. They're a good company, so let's hope they do it.
But there'll be repercussions for the small ISPs as well.
Absolutely, and that's the really interesting part of this. Internet Solutions does not want to focus on the consumer market. I mean, fair enough, they're a business player. They focus on the enterprise market, and they're now pushing down into the SMB market. But Internet Solutions, as you know, Candace, we for example, in our office run AfriHost and a couple of other suppliers who provide ADSL connectivity through Internet Solutions backbone. And Internet Solutions is a big provider into the DSL market. I think they're probably the biggest, if not, the map might be the second biggest after Telkom. But they're a big player in that market, and they work through consumer-facing internet service providers such as Access, such as AfriHost, etc. And Derek Wilcox said to me in my interview with him this week that the idea then would be to provide wholesale capacity on this LTE network to those internet service providers as an alternative option to consumers over DSL.
That would plummet the price of DSL bandwidth.
One hopes so, yeah.
It would have to. I mean, the capabilities of LTE bring so much bandwidth to the fore that,
And he's talking about bringing a different model to the wireless telecommunications game. I mean, the mobile operators really are still voice-focused business. They're focused on billing voice minutes. That's where they make all their money. Internet Solutions is not interested in the voice. We're not interested in the mobile voice market. Certainly, they play in the voice over IP space, but certainly in that voice billing mobile market, they're not interested. They really want to build a wireless broadband network and deliver services broadband services over that. So they're bringing a different approach to wireless spectrum.
Well, I think that all the operators are going to have to start looking at it like that in the not too distant future, with converged businesses coming out of the woodwork left, right, and centre. You look at the likes of MTN Business, Vodacom Business, and these guys are bringing out converged services, or IS as well, bringing out converged services that they need to start thinking about billing more than just minutes.
Yes, yeah. Great. The other big news before we sign off for today is the issue around the JSE and the golden share and the expiry of that golden share tomorrow.
Indeed.
If you're listening to this later than today, Friday, tomorrow. So this weekend, Saturday the 5th of March, day that Telkom or government loses its Class A share, which has given it a number of rights over Telkom. There had been some speculation that Telkom could in fact appoint its new CEO before the expiry of these rights, which would give them basically another couple of hours at the time of recording to make that decision. I suspect they're not going to, although I don't know.
Telkom often does the very late night sends announcements. So
yeah, I mean, it could even come out on Monday morning if they make the decision over the weekend. But they don't really have to appoint the CEO before the golden share expires. It's really the chairman and the fact that they have control over the board now, which gives them the influence over the appointment of the CEO. I mean, they've never had the ability to appoint the CEO in the past. Just had the veto right over the CEO, which basically means the same thing.
Exactly.
Not quite as many legalistic words, but it's basically meant the same thing. So we are expecting some news on that front soon, and there are a couple of interesting names which have been posited around that in the last couple of days. For example, the current CEO of Danel has been mentioned as a potential candidate. Romeo Kamalo, who had been speculated in various newspapers as a potential CEO, has apparently pulled out of the race, so he's not no longer in the bidding. One wonders if he's in the running for Shamil Yusuf's job at Vodacom, who's leaving to go to Vodafone Spain at the end of March as well. We'll have to watch that space quite closely. And Pinky Moholi, who's the current MD of Telkom South Africa, is in the running. She has been interviewed, as has Peter Nelson, the former Group Chief Financial Officer. So my money would be on one of those three: the former CEO of Danel, the current MD of Telkom SA, or the former Group Chief Operating Officer. I think one of them is going to get the job.
I think so. And I think all three of them well, in fact, the two that I know, Peter Nelson and Pinky Moholy, I think they are, you know, two very good options. I don't know the history of the former CEO of Denel, so I can't really comment on what he's like. But from what I see in industry, he seems all right.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to a few people who know him, and they say he's good.
Looking at the state of Denel at the moment, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, but it's been in a mess for a long time, and it's got a difficult business model.
But telecom is also a difficult business. You're going to have some seriously strong, strong will to get through that through that mess.
That's true. But if we haven't heard this weekend, then we will. I'm no doubt hear who the new CEO is before the end of the month when Jeffrey Hedberg steps down. I'm sure Telkom would like to have someone before Jeffrey leaves so that there can be some period of handover, but I don't suppose that's absolutely necessary, and I'm sure Jeffrey would stay on if asked to for a month or two just to ease in the handover process.
I think he would, yes.
Yeah. The big interesting question is, where's Jeffrey going?
Yes.
He's an American national who, the background for anyone who doesn't know, came out here to head up Cell C, did a reasonably good job there by all accounts, and then left to join Telkom as head of Multilinks. Don't know what he was thinking there. The very troubled Nigerian operation, which seems to be in its death throes at the moment.
Well, his tag is the turnaround man. He's the big specialist in turnaround operations, and he stabilised Cell C to the extent where they were actually making a profit.
Yes,
And probably put in place a lot of the processes that Lars Reichelt, the new CEO, has been able to build on. Yeah. So, you know, he's a I think that was his aim. I mean, I think that's what he gets. He enjoys is turnaround brown businesses, and Multilinks is one of those very tough ones.
Yeah.
So maybe.
I think Multilinks may have been unsavable.
I think you're right.
Cool. Just before we go, Candice, you did a piece this week on Tech Central on a new startup business, and you're quite excited about. So you mentioned you wanted to chat a bit about them on the show.
I did.
They're a company called Snaply. Tell us a bit more about them.
I did want to give them a punt because I think this idea has a lot of potential. It's not a new idea, let me be clear. It's effectively a website that allows users to sign up and basically in about 2 or 3 minutes create your own online store. So if you have something in your garage that you want to get rid of, sign up for the free version of the site and start selling it online. And I think it's a fantastic thing. I spoke to the guys from Snaply, Jonathan, one of the guys from Snaply, Jonathan Page, who's running the business. And basically, he's made it as simple as possible, as easy as possible to get e-commerce going on your site or even an individual e-commerce site going. And they're really lucky because they've got quite an investment from Bid or Buy, which is a local, very popular e-commerce service, and they, you know, they have a lot of platforms where if you do sign up for a store, you can punt your store along all of these different sites that are within the stable. And I think that the potential it has for rural development at a later stage, if they decide to, you know, take this to government at any point, it is massive. I mean, I can see a subsistence farmer selling the 50 cabbages that he has left over and has nothing to do with to some of the restaurants in a nearby area. I think, you know, you can transact online, you can transact offline using the, you know, normal, I'm going to pay you cash on delivery. It doesn't matter. I think that the potential for this is incredible, and I just wanted to give them a punt.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. So what store are you setting up?
I haven't decided yet, but I think I might try and sell some photos.
Okay, cool.
I've set up my store already, but I won't tell you about it until it's all ready to go.
Okay, we'll give that a punt once it's up and running. But do go check out Snaply. It does look like an awesome local e-commerce startup, and it's good to see that sort of innovation coming out of the South African startup space.
Absolutely.
Cool. We're about out of time for this week. Just a couple of notices before we go. We're going to be launching something pretty exciting for our listeners in Johannesburg in the next couple of weeks. Probably around early April, we'll have a firmed update up on the website and you know, full details of the event in the next week, hopefully. But we're launching a pub quiz, the Tech Central pub quiz. It's kind of going to replace the Tech Central tipple, which we launched last year. We're looking at ways of making the whole event more exciting. So it's going to be open to all our readers, and we're going to have lots of cool prizes to give away. We've got Incredible Connection and Vodacom on as sponsors of prizes for the event.
Nasher Mobile,
they're giving away some product as well. So it's going to be an awesome event. And if you think your knowledge is, your general knowledge and especially your technology knowledge is good, and because are going to be some pretty tough tech related questions in this quiz, then do come along. We'll let you know about the venue. It's probably going to be in Bryanston, and we'll let you know about the date in the next week or so. So keep an eye on the website for the details of that. Space is going to be limited, so keep an eye out for that, and get your name and your team signed up. We will probably accept, in fact, we will accept company teams in sizes of between 2 and 4 people. And I think we're going to be able to accommodate about 80 people at the event.
So it's, and this is quite strict because that's the space we have.
Yes.
So
yeah, absolutely. So we're looking at doing that in early April. So think about who you might want to get in your team and what you want to call your team. And we'll have a wiki up soon where you can put in all your details and we'll get this going. But I think it's going to be an awesome evening and lots of fun, and maybe at some point we'll get it down to Durban and Cape Town as well. Just lastly, just before we sign off, just a reminder that we've got a new mobile site up. Please go and take a look at that. It's at techcentral.mobi. Let us know your thoughts. It's still in beta for testing at the moment, so there might be a few one or two niggles here or there, so please forgive those. But let us know what you think of it by emailing us at info@techcentral.co.za. We hope you enjoyed the new video I've recorded on the Flip Ultra HD this week. We're looking forward to seeing it as well.
Super quality improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And please use that email address I just handed out if you have any other feedback on the show. Candice, anything else?
That's it.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening to the show and watching the show. We will chat to you again at the same time next week. Cheers. Bye.